Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Stand Up and Marvel. Today, we are talking about the third episode of Ms. Marvel. This is our complete breakdown and thoughts on the episode, so there will be spoilers. You've been warned. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, so I'm going to start off with a quote-unquote quick recap of the episode here, but there was a lot to talk about in this episode, so I had trouble keeping it short, but here we go. So we start with a flashback to 1942 India. We see a group of people excavating. They find a bangle on a severed blue arm. Among the group are Najma, which is Kamran's mom, and Aisha, Kamala's great-grandmother. We find out Najma and her group are from another dimension called the Newer Dimension. They're around 100 years old, and they are Jinn. Later, we find out Nakia officially got elected. The change is here. Kamala gets a new mask from Bruno. Later, after doing some research, Bruno tells Kamala they'll need the energy of the sun for interdimensional travel, so it could be very dangerous. Then, a heartfelt speech from Kamala's mom, you're not alone. Then, a heartfelt speech from Kamala's dad, you're not alone. Beginning to sense a theme here. Kamala tells Kamran she can't help them get back home. Kamran breaks the news to his mom, but wait, she already knew about the danger. Her sinister side is revealed. They're going to make Kamala help them, whether she likes it or not. Then we get Amir and Taisha's wedding with a Bollywood-style dance number. Love it. Even Bruno's getting into the action. But hey, we don't talk about Bruno. Then a big fight scene with Kamala versus the moderately powerful Robin Williams wannabes. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. And during the fight, Living on a Prayer. The awesome music of this series continues. And again, sticking to that theme of not being alone. Real subtle, we get it. Kamala's not alone. Then Bruno and Kamran show up during the fight to help her. Hey, she's not alone after all. She has help. Who could have seen that coming? Kamala sees a vision of a train from Karachi. DODC shows up with some serious tech to take down the Jinn. Nakia discovers Kamala's secret. Kamala's parents confront her. She refuses to open up, wants to handle it alone. Based on what's happening in this episode, all the messages they've been sending us, I have a feeling that's not going to go very well. And finally, Kamala gets a call from Grandma. It's time to go to Karachi. So... That's the whole episode in a nutshell.
You nailed it. Yeah.
It's like I just rewatched it.
Yeah. And I love the energy and some of the moments that you really just like enhanced it.
As I was writing this, I was like, man, they really stuck to a theme here. I didn't notice it as I was watching it, but man.
You could have sold the episode too for people that hadn't seen it yet, you know, minus the spoilers, because you know, it was good. You really like promoted that episode, honestly.
Yeah, it's a great series. It deserves to be promoted.
During the whole bit of You Are Not Alone, you should put a picture of like Michael Jackson doing his bit of You Are Not Alone.
That's great.
Except we don't want to get demonetized, so.
Hey, rest in peace, though.
Rest in peace,
King. One and only, honestly.
Robin Williams.
That was great.
Really miss him.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching one of my favorite Robin Williams movies, Hook, the other night.
Oh, that's a great one.
Solid.
Oh, it is. And I was watching it and I got so sad because I was just like, man, I miss him.
Yeah. Such a shame. We could have gotten him in Howard the Duck even.
Oh my god. You know how great that would have been?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, if they had actually pulled it off. But if you didn't listen to our Howard the Duck episode, we explained exactly why he couldn't be in the movie. So you have to just go
listen to that episode.
But yeah. Love Robin Williams.
Absolutely.
A lot of timeless classics that he's made over the years.
Oh, yeah. His personality, though, no one is like him. Like,
yeah,
he's
his
completely
energy.
Unique.
No one can match his energy.
No.
Oh, yeah. And his ability at improv is just insane. The movie Good Morning Vietnam, I think he improv like 80% of that.
Yeah. Same with Aladdin. Aladdin, he improvised like so many of his lines that the animators actually had to animate his scenes after he finished recording his lines, because he would just keep going and going and going and going. Yeah. And they were just like, okay, so we're just going to let him go. And then we'll animate the scene. And after we pick the audio.
Part?
Yeah.
I know it is.
He was a big part of my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Jumanji. Blubber. I mean, the list is endless.
Yeah, I guess this is the Robin Williams episode now. It's a lot to talk about with that.
All right. I mean, everyone's thinking the same thing. Robin Williams was, that was a big loss for sure.
It was.
But moving on to Ms. Marvel, episode 3.
Yes. Oh, and for the video game nerds, Destined. For anybody who didn't already know, his daughter's name is Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Fun fact. Yeah, he promoted I think a Nintendo 3DS commercial.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was a Nintendo where he was promoting I think it was Legend of Zelda, one of the new games, and he was like talking about like his daughter basically throughout the entire commercial, and it's like just like videos of the gameplay of the game, and then and then she interrupts him, and he's like, he calls her, his princess, and it cuts to her, and it's like Zelda. And I was just like, oh, he would.
So good.
But yeah.
All right. So back to
Ms. Marvel. On to Ms. Marvel.
So yeah, I already talked about the whole episode, but.
Yeah, well, I guess I can.
I know, take yeah, away. Just rewatch the whole episode
Thanks
in my mind.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
I know a good place to start because I'm sure I'm not alone.
Oh, yeah, I'm just
going to take the lead. I love the episode. I feel the same way I did the first two times. It hasn't changed in the same way. I will say the one thing, if I was to nitpick something already right away, it's kind of, there's certain moments like the beginning. There's a few plot points that are muddled, I think. It's kind of hard to distinguish like what is happening at certain times, at least for me. Because when you mentioned her great grandmother, I was under the assumption that the great grandmother was the one that showed up, and the woman that is kind of like the antagonist of the story, that's like a friend. That's not like in relation to Kamala, like where I think we initially thought that was the great grandmother. I'm kind of confused now, because I thought that, you know, the younger woman that came in when they're excavating and put on the bracelet, I thought that was Kamala's great grandmother, not grandmother who she's about to see.
That's
her great
grandmother from the 1942 flashback. That was her great grandmother that put on the bang.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So, and then the woman that's like kind of coming after Kamala, that's from another dimension, which I think we can determine now we're in Earth-616 kind of by that.
Nope.
Okay, sure. Whatever you said. But it's
Earth. We just know that we're not in the Nor. We just know we're not in the Nor dimension. That's all we know from that.
That's true. That is
true. We did get another name drop that, you know, is further evidence that we could be in Earth-616, but again, it's still not definitive. We got what was his name? Eric Selvig, the guy that ran around in his birthday suit at Stonehenge in the gem of the Marvel movie, Thor Dark World.
Forgot about that.
He also, Kamala did talk about how Captain Marvel punched a hole through space and time and transported people to their home world. So she was like, why can't I? So that was at the end of Captain Marvel. So.
Wait, my best thing, I thought she was saying that, like, if Captain Marvel was here, she would do that. She would punch a space through space and time.
That's how I took
she said
it.
She actually did it.
Yeah, that's how I took
did
it.
Did she not say she actually did it?
I don't think so. And I think, if anything, that was probably a reference to America Chavez, you know, because that's exactly what she can do. She can punch a hole through space.
She can. She could get the djinns back to Nor.
Mm-hmm. So, so the leader of the djinns, the woman, she's basically... Because I know we kind of said that maybe she might have been the great-grandmother in the beginning, but now we know like she's a separate person that's in relation to the family, right?
Yeah.
That she's, so the djinns are from another dimension. They've always been from another dimension. They're trying to go back home. They need her. They need Kamala's power to access it. They need the
bangle.
Bangle, thank you. I was drawing a blank. I didn't want to say bracelet. The bangle... one thing I will say, I have a theory. I wanted to kind of drop this on you guys and see, float around and see if you agreed or not. I think that the Department of Damage Control is actually Skrulls. Part of them are Skrulls working directly for Nick Fury. I think the woman is a Skrull. The one that, and they walked in to the mosque and had their shoes off because they're not aware of human customs. You know what I mean? I mean, you could have played it off as, oh, they're just, you know, government, you know, people are respectful, whatever. And yeah. I think that's kind of how they're trying to play it off. But if you really think about it, you look at how their mannerisms are and how they're acting and everything. I think Agent Clancy, right? Was it Clancy or Cancy or whatever, the guy from No Way Home. And I think he's human. I think he's like, he's actually like a part of the DO, the damage control, DODC. But I think that that woman and a couple of them are Skrulls working directly for Nick Fury. Cause I think Nick Fury is trying to have a presence on Earth while he's building the base for S.W.O.R.D. And I think he's trying to collectively take younger, new, enhanced individuals for the next team.
It's feasible.
So that's my theory of the show. I think that Skrulls are kind of closing in on her because they work directly for Nick Fury. And I still think that we're potentially going to get a cameo at the end from either Bree or Monica Rambeau, or the Skrulls are going to take her to Fury at the end of the show.
And, yeah, I mean, I agree. We're everyone's going to be getting one of them. Skrull wouldn't surprise me. I'm not sold yet that that they're Skrull, but I definitely feel like they're not actually like legit DODC agents. There's something funny going on. I just haven't really put my finger on what exactly.
Well, that's what they want us to think. And that's why I feel like it might be like a mix. Like some of them are actual DODC, and then some of them are Skrulls walking among them. You know what I mean? So there's kind of like this back and forth, not vendetta, but there's some sort of initiative happening to try to, you know, lock down the enhanced individuals. So I don't know, just a theory. I'm not saying it's right. It kind of clicked with me today when in that scene when they walked into the mosque, their shoes on and everything. Like the camera literally started with them walking in with their shoes on into the mosque. Like they wanted to make a point of that. And I don't think it was just to say like they're being disrespectful, government representatives, because I feel like nowadays in real life, I feel like government officials, and especially of that high stature, are aware of all the cultures in America and they would respect it. You know what I mean? Like it just, yeah, I don't know, but I could be completely wrong. I mean,
you could be onto something for sure. I could see that.
I mean, I can understand that too. I mean, you would think that somebody of that level of like in a government agency or anything like that, you know, they would know common law type of stuff. And the fact that when Nakia was just like, you need a warrant to be in here. And she's like, she's like, oh, well, you know what, you know, you don't understand the situation. And he's like, no, you don't understand that you need a warrant still, no matter what. And it's just like, okay. I mean, it could be the fact that they're just making whatever her agent name is, I forget what it is right now, just being that type of an arrogant person, because she definitely comes off like that. But again, it's just probably, you know, she could be a Skrull and not really understand human emotions and kind of human cultures until they interact with them and really understand what they're about. So I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be surprised if she ended up being a Skrull.
Yeah, because think of how
think that they might not be Skrulls. It's just like you said, if they're Skrulls, they're probably working for Fury, probably working for S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah.
They seem like a little too aggressive and a little too they have a little bit too much of a desire to like take Miss Marvel down rather than, you know, try to like recruit her or help her or whatever, because you know she's clearly a good guy, she's saving people. So that just their level of aggression just makes me think that maybe they're not part of S.W.O.R.D. and therefore not Skrulls. But like I said, I'm still not decided.
And I'm trying to parallel how Nick Fury and her name always leaves me, and I should know it because she's in a lot, how they both were in Far From Home, because they were both Skrulls the whole entire time in Far From Home. Nick Fury and what's her face? Forgot her name. She was in How I Met Your Mother, and
she's at the end of Infinity War.
You know what I mean, though. She's like one of like the main SHIELD agents that's been with them like the whole time. She was in Ultron, she was in
What,
you know what I mean, right? Yeah. But like, I agree with you, Colin, but I'm saying, but they've made a point to show us that the leader of
Maria Hill,
boom, there it is. She's the leader of them right now. So like their aggression is because she's telling them to, but I guess that would like, why would they be aggressive if they're trying to like recruit her? Maybe they're not trying to recruit her. Maybe they're trying to control her. I don't know.
Maybe they're intentionally misleading us and making it seem like they're being aggressive, but really they're just trying to get close to her. So sure. They can like whisper in her ear, like, hey, bad guys, we're actually here to help you. We're just deceiving the rest of these DODC agents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see them doing that, but
yeah, we'll have to find out. Three more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit of good news about Kamran. He's not 100 years old like the rest of them. 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
that was funny.
They're just like, wow, for 100 years old, you guys look pretty good. It's like, well, not all of us are. He's 17.
I love how they made her feel so like warm and trusting. They're like, oh, these people are great. You know, this is fantastic. And then he's like, no, they're terrible. They won't do anything. They'll do anything they can to make sure that they go home. Which, you mean, you can kind of understand that, right? You know,
they'll do whatever it'll take to get home, but I think it's more than that to do whatever it takes. Like, yeah, they'll do whatever it takes to get home, but the reason behind is because they were banished, and they were banished for a reason.
Yeah,
they must have been done something really bad to get themselves banished from their home world or their universe, and them getting back, I feel like they're gonna like, if they do get back, they're gonna like rebel or do something to change the way things work where they come from, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, just because like you can tell by Kamran's mom's just personality how she just flipped on a dime.
Yeah.
And she was just like, if she's not gonna help us now, I'll make her help us now, and she's like, I'm tired of waiting. He's just like, well, I get it. You've waited 100 years, but you know.
she was giving me the feeling that she was gonna like be extreme. Like she almost would like hurt her son to get what she wants.
I think
that's kind of the intensity that I was feeling. Yeah.
I don't think she really cares. I mean, she cares about her son. Yeah, but I think she's more obsessed with getting home, because when that dude tossed him off the ledge and slammed him into the ground. Mm-hmm. His mom did not like show any kind of emotion about him getting slammed into the ground. And I was just like, ooh, okay. Either he's going to get a stern talking to later on, or
he's going to straight up die.
He's just going to straight up die. And his mom's going to be like, for the cause.
Yeah. That's the level I was feeling. Like, that's how they were like, she was portraying it and her acting, the writing and everything. I was like, man,
I really love this episode. And for one reason alone for this episode is because this is the first big fight that Kamala's in. Mm-hmm. And in most of these like Marvel and superhero movies, like when people get their abilities, they usually like a lot of the superhero movies and shows and everything, people master their abilities like really quick. And then the first fight they're in, they tend to like just knock out and just beat the first bad people they come in contact with. I love how in this episode, Kamala gets into her first big fight and she's still trying to figure out what her powers or abilities can do. And, you know, and yeah, she did get in a couple of hits here with her big giant fist, but you know, she was struggling. And I like that because it's just like, it really brought like the fact that she's still learning. She hasn't mastered her abilities. And I also think that she probably won't master her abilities until they get the second bangle.
Because
there is a second one.
Right. I was wondering about that. Like, it definitely seems like it's going to happen at some point. It's just a question of how, like, is her great-grandmother imprisoned somewhere? Because she's still alive. She has long life like the rest of the djinns.
Right, unless she's... Right,
sorry, djinn is actually the plural of djinn.
Yes.
I love when Bruno said intonic. That was so good.
But yeah, it's I probably think she has to be.
She's either in prison or she's out free somewhere, and she's like deliberately trying not to get back to the rest of the gym because she knows that they would try to go to the other dimension and, you know, not care what happens to this one. Or she was captured and they're gonna have to rescue her. So I'm not sure which one it is yet. They haven't really
indicated. Yeah, they didn't really touch about that. I mean,
but I wouldn't be surprised if she's free, because that would explain where all these visions are coming from.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if she, if actually I wouldn't be surprised if the bangle that Kamala has is the second bangle and she still has the first one on, which is
right.
Why
that's what I was thinking.
That's why she has some type of connection with Kamala when she puts on the bangle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah, they did say that it was her great grandmother's bangle.
It's so, yeah,
the first episode. Right. Yeah. In the first episode when they get it, but like it could have been, it could have been passed down from, you know, her grandmother or her great grandmother could have found the second one and realized what they were up to.
Maybe they just like assumed it was hers because it was so similar. Because her great grandmother disappeared with the bangle, so how would they know that it was her bangle that they found?
Exactly.
Maybe just assuming.
Maybe she had both, and then when she disappeared, the only thing that was left was the second bangle, and you know that was just passed down from as a family heirloom. We won't know until we look further into it. But I was surprised. I was like really fascinated about the fact that we were like, oh, there's two of them. And I was just like,
yeah,
okay.
I didn't even like think of that, and that makes total sense. Yeah. But what's up with the blue arm? Was that a Kree? Where they got the bangle from?
Yeah, like, I mean, my first thought was just, you know, Jin is like a genie, and you know, genies are often portrayed as being blue.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, it's also very possible that it's Kree.
Yeah.
I was actually looking into it a little bit. There was Mar-Vell in the comics.
You know, right. Kree.
And
well, Mar-Vell was Jude Law in the first movie.
Mar-Vell was her like mentor.
Her mentor,
the like scientist.
Oh, I thought he ended up being the Mar-Vell though.
No, he.
I mean,
his name is actually not referenced that much in the movie.
No,
because
it's not. I don't even remember what it is.
And there was a specific reason why they didn't mention it in the movies very much.
So in the comics, Mar-Vell, she had bangles just like that, and they were called Kree Nega Bands. So it could have been an actual Kree, that's severed blue arm that they found.
Yeah, that's the first thought when I saw it. I was like, oh, that looks like maybe a Kree. And then was that the Ten Rings when they did an above,
yes,
below? Yep. I thought I saw it too.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's huge. Connection
there. So you got rings that are basically bracelets, and then you got these.
I know. I was like, yeah, it's just similar, like each culture has their own bracelet of power.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I thought it was interesting again, because I saw the 10 rings. And I'm like, okay, Shang-Chi has 10 rings, 5 on each arm. The bangles, there's 2 of them, so 1 on each arm. So, and they're they have cosmic powers, you know, so it's going to be really interesting. And especially since like, I think it was in the first or second episode when, Bruno was like examining the bangle and he was like, what's this language that's on there? And she's like, oh, I don't know. It might be this or it might be that. And I was like, well, the 10 rings have their own runes on them. I wouldn't be surprised if the bangles had their own runes on them and they're somewhat related to each other.
And then don't they talk about in Shang-Chi, like relics, like different types of relics that have like mystical power that have been throughout space?
Isn't that like the post-credit thing with Wong when he's like,
I think so,
to them?
I could be making this up in my head, but I could have sworn they were talking about like certain objects of power.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel like this might be something they're kind of connecting. They're connecting it with.
Yeah, definitely seems like they're connecting it. I mean, the mm-hmm. Ten Rings logo, like the official one with all the the different language, the text
right.
in the rings mm-hmm. instead of just the blank rings like they've had in the earlier Marvel movies. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a connection there.
Mm.
I don't know what connection, but what the wait and see.
They're trying to hang us on, so we just try to figure it out and spin our heads around and right. What's going on? But yeah,
it's Wong showing up.
Yeah, that's a huge thing too.
I wanted all these like portals that they're seeing, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the fight scene because that's probably one of my favorite scenes of the whole episode. Not because it's action, it's a fight scene, because Tim's right. I mean, it's the first time that she was in like an actual fight, but they portrayed it so well. I thought it was awesome. Like it was the same vibe in Batman where they kind of were making him feel, you know, sloppy and he was, you know, learning still. They really drove that home in that. And maybe it kind of been for better or for worse in some scenes, like it didn't look as clean, but I thought this looked clean the entire time. I loved this whole sequence. I thought it was so great how they did it at the backdrop of Bon Jovi when they had Brown Jovi at the wedding.
Oh God, great. Brown Jovi.
They had Brown Jovi as the cover band for Bon Jovi. And then after that, they backed it up with the real Bon Jovi song during the action scene, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
And it was just so fun and everything she was doing and the objects that the djinns had and they were hitting her with and all that, like one had like this giant like whip, like it was just so cool. And it was
I thought that was pretty cool, like they each have an artifact or something
proficient
with, but like they can just summon it from like out of nothing, or it's like transformed into something that they have on them. Like the dude pulled his belt off and it turned into like this whip thing. Yeah. Dude like grabbed his like zipper on his hoodie and it turned into this giant hammer. I don't know where the woman got her spear from. I'm not gonna ask.
Yeah,
it
just appeared. It just appeared.
Yeah, but like, but you didn't see what Kamran's mom uses. Yeah. I don't think she used anything.
No, I don't think she did.
And
either.
He had like some type of like yo-yo thing going on.
Yeah, he did have something like that.
I was like, really, you're gonna fight a dude with a rock on a string?
Hey, you gotta give it to him. He really put on the line for Kamala, he straight up showed up at the wedding, like, just hey, you know what's danger, this needs to stop.
I like that scene, like the moment he showed up, because like the fact, like the intensity on his face, I thought he was like going there to like take her to his mom. Like I thought he was like gonna like he was there for working for his mom. And then when he starts going off like telling her you're not safe and this and that, and then
it gave it away for me when he texted her and said just focus on the wedding. That's when I was like, he actually has her back. Like he cares. Yeah, he cares. Because right. His mom straight up called him out on it like right after. And I was like, yeah, but you're right. It could have been kind of either or. He could have been there.
I mean, when she was like, when she told him, he's like, I'm done waiting. I'm going to make her do it. And he was just like, we don't know what happened after that scene. I mean, she could have told him, you know, either you're with us or you're against us, you know, type of deal. And it's just like, oh, well, ultimatum. Sure. You know, so, but I like that he was like there to help her out, and it's just like, I thought that was really cool. Yeah,
and then
how Bruno got in there.
Yeah, and her friends, like Bruno is just so good again. I love Bruno episode again. He just such a great character. And then her friend, like when she finally found out, she walks up the ladder. She's like, what was that? Like she was so pissed that she was left out of this. Like, you know, like betrayed. She was betrayed. Yeah, super betrayed. And Bruno's like, I'll explain everything. She's like, are you okay? He's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. He's like, are you? I love the fact that when they were like, are you okay? And he's just like, no, no, I'm not okay. But I'll tell you everything on the way to the hospital. Yeah. You know?
Great.
And it's just what I really I love the brother. The brother is like, before the wedding happens, he's like talking to his dad. He's like, I have $729 in my bank account. His dad's like, I'm surprised you have that much.
But then
Kamala,
he's probably my favorite character. So
when Kamala pulls the alarm, his dad tells his son, he's like, don't forget the money.
Yeah, he goes and grabs some money.
he grabs some money and you can see him outside just holding the money. It's like, this is the only thing that matters right now.
Yeah,
the fact that I can't leave this wedding broke.
I love how there was another wedding there too.
Yeah,
and the bride was crying and she's like, "You look beautiful." She's like, "You look beautiful too." Yeah. It was so good.
I thought that was great.
It's
the Bollywood move, the moment.
That was great.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
That was, I loved in the before was that into before it. The yeah,
I
loved
yeah, the no wedding. Idea what was going on.
Right? it's like a flash mob type of thing. Yeah. But I did love the scene before the wedding when Nakia barges into Kamala's room and she's like, "What's wrong? Is it because you're not as good a dancer as I am?" She's like "You wish." She's like, "Oh, you'll get there." Oh my god, I'm loving the fact that she's coming into this character and she's really bringing it to the show. It's just like she's getting so much better. Each episode that passes is just definitely getting better with her.
I'm just
like waiting for when she joins the Avengers because it's gonna be amazing.
It is going to be amazing, yeah. And seeing her in action for the first time. And I love how they did it, too. They have her, like, they ease into it. They have her rescue somebody. And then the next episode, she goes into her first, like, action sequence. Like, they give us a little bit. Like, she punches the drone. Like, that's it. But, like, no, she's running away. This one, she had to face them head on, you know. And she showed her courage. And she showed, like, that she can take care of herself. She's just learning, you know, like,
and
it was just awesome visually too. It was so cool, like with the discs and how she uses it as a shield and everything.
Yeah, awesome. Like when she uses the light as a shield on the defensive, and it's almost so. And what I love about the fight scene is like she's on the defensive like the whole time, as if she forgot how to use her powers for the offensive until Bruno gets whacked into the wall, and then she's just like, she just went rage mode, and she's like, "All right. Fist, boom," and she smacks them all. I was just like, "Okay, there it is." Now she's angry. I'm like, "Yeah." the inner Star Wars in me was just like, "Use your hate."
That's true. Yeah.
There's one moment I didn't really like in the fight scene. Overall, I love the fight scene, but towards the end, when all the djinn were like closing in on all sides, you know, she had her back turned, and one of the guys just like came to a dead stop like 10 feet behind her.
I missed that when they were closing, for the
convenience of, you know, the hero, because like, you know,
I missed that, there was
a moment like that in Obi-Wan as well. I think it was either the first or second episode. There were a bunch of guys that were closing in on Leia, and because she's a little girl, she can't run very fast, so the actors had to like
slow down
for a couple of seconds. Yeah. And didn't even start moving until she was like, a good 20 feet away, because like otherwise I would have caught her right away. I was like, come on, you can write that scene better.
It's funny you should say that, because I I watched a video recently where it was like a martial arts master, like he was rating like actual fights in martial arts movies, and he was just like but like this one was for another movie called Ip Man, and it's just like when he's the main character is fighting 10 guys and it's like it's just one guy at a time fighting against them, but like the rest of them are waiting around, and he's like that's not realistic. He's just like, if there's 10 guys there and they're not gonna wait
for their turn,
they're just gonna go all in and just gang up on them. And it's just like, so like when you mentioned that in Ms. Marvel, it's like, yeah, they had her surrounded. It was the opportune moment for them to just go in, knock her out, and like kidnap her, and just like, and they were angrily. Just like they they were just like, they kind of, it's like they have like telepathic abilities where they could talk to each other in their heads and be like, should we wait for her to get here? And then the mother jumps down and she's like, okay, we're all here, let's go. And then the DOD shows up and it's like, nope.
I mean like I said that was just like the one thing I didn't like. The rest of the
it would have been great if, like, I think that could have been a much better scene if like if they did like gang up on her and they like subdued her, and then all of a sudden she uses her abilities again, like to like push them all off of her and like knock them out or something, and then the DOD shows up and starts arresting them and everything. I mean,
sure,
it would have been great to see her kind of like overwhelm all of them at the same time, because that would have been more realistic. Well, in it makes the sense episode. Too. Yeah,
they just makes in sense. The beginning, they have like a weaker connection to their powers because they're not from this dimension, where she was born here, so she has like a
because like they said, they say they draw off of it to keep them from aging. That's the whole reason why they don't age as fast. It's because they draw on the I forget what they call it, but the light. And they're like, because of you, you were born here, you seem to be able to access it naturally. And so I was kind of interested, you know, and it did seem like those weapons that they used were like imbued with something too. So I was like, okay, interesting.
I thought it was kind of weird that they all had basically the same ability, and then the mom never revealed hers, but we can just assume it's something similar.
Yeah,
but because I was like going into this, I actually learned recently, which I should have known this, but Miss Marvel in the comics is inhuman. So, you know, the TV show that Black Bolt was from that tanked Inhumans previously on Hulu. I don't think it's on there anymore. But she was one of them, and she's basically the equivalent of a mutant. It was like a different version of X-Men from like a different universe, essentially, but they're called Inhumans. So I was expecting like all these djinns to, you know, have like all these different powers, and they all have essentially the same power, just slightly different, which is a little disappointing. They were pretty weak. I don't know, compared to like a lot of the Marvel villains that we've seen. But
well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to drop like the hammer on her in the first. Well, yeah, they have to get, you know, her first go. They have to have someone that's like,
I don't know. I mean, that dude pulled a hammer from his chest. So
right, yeah, he literally
dropped the hammer on her.
Yeah, literally. But I love one thing. I love how she tries to like save everybody. Like she runs in the kitchen. She's like, "All right, everybody needs to leave now." And they look at her like, "Who is this?" Like, no. And they just keep working. Like if someone like Captain America walked in there, or Iron Man walked in there, was like, "Everyone needs to leave now," they would drop everything and run in an instant.
Yeah, so like, but I did like this? I did like when the guy gets punched in the face, and she's like, "I'm not dealing with this."
That was great. She goes, "Oh, right, absolutely up. Not."
Or yeah, something like that. Yeah, absolutely not. Puts down the onions and just walks.
That was really funny.
Captain America, because that's the exact thing that happened in the first Avengers movie when he walked up to the police officer and he was giving specific orders about exactly what they needed to do, and they just completely ignored him, and then he beat up a bunch of aliens, and then he repeated everything he just said back to all the other officers.
That's right, yeah. But yeah, it was just so well done. I did enjoy it.
So I think my funniest moment of the episode for me, at least, Kamala was talking to Bruno, and this is when they were trying to figure out interdimensional travel. She says to Bruno, "You're good at math. Do you know anything about interdimensional travel?"
Off the top of your head. Off the top of your head, do you know anything about interdimensional travel?
Yeah, that's so good.
And then he like explains it, and then she's like, "Okay, try it one more time."
But she said something too. She said, "Try it one more time,"
but something else like simpler, like something similar to what it means to be like, simplify it. And she's like go
dumb it down or something.
Yeah, dumb it
like
down.
Like layman's terms. Yeah.
Go. And he's just like, okay. And then she's like, if there's an if in there. I thought that was really funny. What I thought was this is probably just me, but one of my funniest moments was when she was in the bathroom and she was taking care of her knee, and her mom goes, "What happened?" She's like, "I fell off my bike." And I'm like, "Your bike was stolen." Mm-hmm. "You don't have a bike." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "How does her parents not know her bike is not there anymore?" Sure. I'm like, "Doesn't she like put it in the garage?" And like, parents just don't go in the garage anymore.
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't find out the first episode.
I know, right? When she returned home, it's just like, "Kamala, that was an expensive bike. Where is it?"
Yeah. I mean, I guess that does kind of explain why they allowed her to go to that party in episode 2. So I was talking about that last time. If they didn't know that the bike was missing, I guess maybe.
They just don't know. Parents just don't know nowadays.
All right. So some other random things. So when they give all the different names of the djinn because I said they're known by many different names. Most of them are like real world references, but there was one that's actually a reference from the comics, The Unseen.
Yeah.
So that could be a reference to The Watcher. So that's a title, The Unseen, that's been claimed by some people that have like the ability to avoid the Watcher's sight. So wow. Unseen. So, you know, could be a reference there. Yeah. And actually Nick Fury did claim that title at one point in the comics. So another possible Nick Fury reference.
Interesting.
And there was a line from Kamala's mom. Good is not a thing you are, it's a thing you do.
You do, yeah.
And that was actually a direct quote from one of the Ms. Marvel comics.
Yeah, that was said by the guy who leads the mosque.
It was said in Marvel before, though.
Yeah, he said it because like
when she was out front.
Leaving the party or something, and she's out front on the stoop, and he's like, "What are you doing out here? The party's over there." And she's like, she's trying to like explain to him like how does she go about convincing the world that she's good, and he's like, "It's not something you are; it's something you do."
I thought they've said that before, though, in Marvel at some point. I could have sworn I've heard that line before at some point in one of them.
I think it's been tweaked a little bit, but I have heard some. It's not. I've heard the line where it's like something is not what you are, it's what you do. Like something about it could have been like courage or something like that, bravery. They tweak it for multiple different things, you know. But yeah, I was like, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty funny when the son came into the room. He's like, haha, very funny. You're supposed to hide one pair of my shoes, not all of
all
them.
Yeah. Do you think the leader of the mosque, do you think he knows it's her? The person that the DODC is searching for?
I think he does now, by the way she was talking to him about her, because especially when she told him or asked him, how does she convince them that she is good? And it's like, why would you ask that question if it's not you? Like, I mean, like, you can start that question by say hypothetically, you know, or something like that.
I'm asking for a friend.
Or yeah, like asking for a friend. Yeah. I mean, you know. If you were in her, or she could
have used that
like,
line before too.
If you were in her shoes, how would you convince the world that you're good? Like if she said that, that would kind of lead it off that it's not her. She's just interested in the subject and everything.
Yeah.
And the fact that he just smiles at her and he tells her exactly what being good is what you do, not who you are. I think that he knows. And now even when they come back with the search warrant, he won't do anything either. Because now he knows. I think he knows. And I think he's one of those guys where it's just like, you know what? She's a young girl and she's part of our community. There's no way we're going to give her up.
Yeah, right. She's obviously a good person. She's
he's like,
at this point.
And I think he can see the good in her and see that she's going to be a major impact on the community as well. So
her mom's on her too, for sure. I feel like that was kind of like foreshadowed a little bit in this episode.
I actually got a little worried when Kamala was hugging her mom so tight in the bathroom, and especially because her mom's face, and I'm not sure if I'm the only one that noticed this, because like she's holding on to her pretty tight, and then her mom's face like was like got like changed a little bit.
It was like the thinking face.
Yeah,
like, and she's then, like kind of putting pieces together.
She had a thinking face. But then she tells her to cheer up and everything. I thought like when Kamala was hugging her so tight, she felt the bangle pressing against her, and she could have been like, "What is that?" And kind of put it together that she has the bangle on.
Yeah.
But then she was like, "No, just cheer up." And then when she was, but I think she kind of has a sense of what's going on, because she's like, "We can't help you unless you tell us the truth."
Mm-hmm.
Right. And everything.
Keep trying to push her, and she just keeps refusing to let him in.
Yeah. And you know, you can't blame her because she, you know, it's the same thing with every superhero. The moment you reveal your identity to the loved ones, to your loved ones, you put them in danger.
Yeah.
Because then the enemies, your villains and everything will go after your family to find, especially once they know that they know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I like how they're sticking to the not revealing to the family who she is, at least not now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the classic superhero story is you reveal your identity to your loved ones and your friends, they become targets number one to find out, and the DOD would probably be right at their door.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and they're still. Colin mentioned it earlier about her being an Inhuman, and that's awesome. I didn't know that, but they've been saying the word enhanced individual again a lot in this series. Mm-hmm. Because we haven't really heard them acknowledge as everyone has enhanced, I think, for quite some time, because that was the real move away from mutant, because you know they said enhanced individuals a lot in Ultron, and
yeah
it seems like they're still kind of driving that. I feel like even when X-Men comes in, they're still not going to say mutant. They're just going to say enhanced individuals.
Mm.
But I could be wrong. Who knows? We'll see.
Maybe they'll only say it in the X-Men universe, but when the X-Men are actually here, they'll call them enhanced.
Yeah, that's true. So, hey, maybe we are in 616. Boom, boom.
Mic drop. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to be convinced until we get a clear answer about where the Illuminati are relative to this universe, or America Chavez, or something else that we know was from a different universe other than 616. You know, it's just not clear cut enough yet, because like I said in my theory episode, everything in the universe that I think this is in would be exactly the same up to when Thanos was defeated, and we haven't seen anything post Thanos yet.
That's fair. We haven't seen anything post Thanos yet.
Besides her acknowledging Endgame, though, the events of Endgame.
Yeah.
That's
in the first episode.
That's during Thanos. That's not post Thanos. I'm talking post Endgame specifically.
Yeah, but she's talking about what happened in Endgame in the first episode. So wouldn't the first episode be considered post Endgame?
No, she was talking about Endgame, not post Endgame. During Endgame is what she was talking about.
Yeah, but his argument is that first episode is post Thanos.
Well, yeah, but they're not talking about anything that we've seen definitively in Earth 616. Like nothing that has happened in that universe has happened here yet.
Mm.
Okay.
We know this is after Thanos, but none of the events have lined up. And even if they did, it wouldn't be proof, because there's a divide at some point after Endgame that makes these universes different, but we don't know at which point. It could have not happened yet. It could still be in the future at some point. So even if they are lining up still, there's still no proof that it's that it is 616. So
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few things that will prove it. They just haven't happened yet.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling we're gonna get an answer this season. Just
yeah.
Haven't seen it yet.
That's fair.
I can't believe we're halfway through already.
Mm-hmm. I know. Halfway through.
It's going halfway so fast. There. And again, like a couple that, like my not biggest, my biggest gripe is just
Brown Jovi.
My biggest gripe again, like I'm not saying that the answer for this series would have been another two episodes, but I'm just saying, like in comparison to Moon Knight. But again, with these series, there are certain moments, and again, it happened in this episode, I feel like, where just the story gets muddled. It's kind of hard to follow at certain moments because maybe it's going too fast. I don't know.
Yeah, they did a lot in this episode. I mean, instead of the very beginning, they gave us so much stuff in this episode.
Yeah, like so much. And like it started off with a bang, and then this is happening. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm just like, whoa. Like, and I was trying to keep up with it because, again, I was confused. Like I was like, you know, the mom, the grandma, the great grandmother, the other friend, this and that. And it's like, they're like talking about so many people without the audience like visualizing it yet. And then we visualize it, but then we're trying to like connect the dots, but then everything's moving so fast. you know, so it all just feels kind of like muddled in certain points where you had kind of have to go back to catch it, you know, like if you watch it one time, you're going to be like, you know, I don't know, that could just be me. I just think that there's a lot of moments where they kind of just sped it up a little bit too quick, just to get to a certain point, you know, where we were in the end of the episode, right? And again, this, you know, it's just, it's a minor gripe, but it's kind of how I feel about.
I mean, pacing's important. Midnight had the same issue. I mean, it was great for the first like 3-4 episodes, but then the last two episodes, one was very, very slow and one was very, very fast. And it would have been a lot better if they just added a couple more episodes and spaced some stuff out.
Right.
So yeah. They did toss a lot in this episode. And you know, it was a lot to take in for this episode. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think, you know, we're only halfway through. So we still got a lot more stuff to cover. And hopefully they'll spread it out a little bit and kinda let it sink in before the finale hits us and it's just like, oh
yeah,
that's what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So a few other things. So Kamala got her new mask from Bruno.
And I was so upset that she didn't use it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen when she's in the full new outfit. You can see it. They show us on Disney Plus about about to play the episode ever.
I was waiting for it like this entire, like, I'm like, we're halfway through and she hasn't even worn it yet. I'm just like, God, when does she get it? I mean,
it took Superman 10 seasons in Smallville. So 6 episodes is fine. Fine by me.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be the last episode for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. So she got the new mask. It's in line with her actual costume. So awesome. We found out that the energy that it takes to open a portal to another dimension is equivalent to the energy of the sun. So we never really got an idea of America Chavez's power in Multiverse of Madness, but that now tells us how strong she really is.
Yeah.
So that's something
huge. Yeah, that's insane.
Going back to the mask real quick, Colin. So the last time we talked, we had referenced that Kamala's powers are very similar to a DC character.
Green Lantern,
and Green Lantern's mask is literally the same thing that just covers his eyes. And I was just like, when I saw the mask come out when she opened the box, I was like, Green Lantern, boom, right there.
It's a different color though.
It is a different color, and like, I was just like, oh man, that's all I know. It's just like, I was like, really? That's gonna protect her identity? Just cover the eyes. Nobody can identify you by the eyes.
Just like Incredibles. They've all got just that little mask on.
I know, right?
It's and funny. The fact that it's clearly like a family, like you can't figure out what family that is.
I know, right? Especially like their hair and everything. It's just like, it's just so funny. But I always love the fact that like superheroes that have like those masks, like the ones that just cover up the eyes, their eyelids are also like blackened, but then when they take them off, they're like clean. I was like, wait, how'd your face get so clean all of a sudden? It's like Batman, for example, he takes off the cowl and he's just Bruce Wayne. I'm just like,
except in the Batman.
Except
that's something I actually liked, that little detail of leaving the
shadow on him. Point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but like all other superheroes that like do that stuff, like it's just magic. It's like when they take it off, it's like a magic eraser, and it's just like whoop.
Yep, gone. Like
just gone.
I went through all the old Batman movies recently, and I think leading up to the Batman, I don't even remember now. Some point this year, and that's the perfect example. Like Clooney and Kilmer and all. It's just like. Like all of a sudden, boom! Like, and they kind of try to play it off. Like Kilmer comes out of like the little like suit room.
Robin's
like yelling at him. Yeah, he comes out with a towel and he's like wiping his hair and everything. Like he just took a shower or something. Yeah. So I totally get it, and it works. You know, it works.
It does. So, but yeah,
not as bad as Superman though. No mask there.
No mask. I don't think he could wear a mask because if he shot out his heat vision, it would just burn the mask.
Yeah.
Which is why Cyclops doesn't use a mask. Well, he does kind of, but he has the special eye cover.
Yeah.
So then we got the last thing that happens in the episode. She's going to see her grandma. Going to Karachi. Mm-hmm. Saw the train in the vision. I don't really know what that means. It's like Karachi.
It's the train from the story. That they talked about from the story. Yeah.
During the partition and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's when her great grandmother actually disappeared. It was and she's like, oh, how'd she get back to her father? She followed the stars back to her father at the train. Mm-hmm. So the train, and I think didn't the train have a plate on the front that said where it was? The place?
Kamatash on the front of it.
Karachi.
Sorry. Yeah. Was I just thinking of the
Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good.
Who knows? It could take him to the Kamatash. I mean,
hey, in my defense, Multiverse of Madness dropped on Disney Plus today, so yeah, it's in my mind right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. If anybody hasn't heard, it's on Disney Plus now.
I did love how again with this series, the consistency they do in the little details. Her grandmother calls again, and there she is, straight in front of the camera, mm-hmm. not knowing how to use FaceTime.
That's true. She was again. The
consistency where she's like, you have to come to, and she's like, Grandma, can we talk about this tomorrow? And she's just like right there in.
Yeah, we're just going all over the place.
Yeah, she's going all over the place. Like she's like looking up, she's like looking down, she's like all over, like holding at an angle. She's just. I don't think she's aware that FaceTime was on. Mm-hmm. I think she was just talking to the phone.
Oh yeah, she's being super serious, but you can't take it seriously because she's like it's all.
I thought that was great. Like the consistency in this series is definitely mm-hmm. on point.
Oh, Grandma's going to be in the next episode for sure.
Oh yeah. Who did she say she had to bring with her?
Her mom, right?
Mom, I thought, yeah.
Her mom.
Was it her mom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her mom. That's at least what I took from it. Yeah.
That's going to go down well.
She used a nickname for her, but I'm pretty sure it was her mom.
It's her mom, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I didn't pick up on who it was supposed to. I thought she was talking about Nakia for a second. I was just like, no, why would she need to go?
Right.
But it would make sense if her mom had to go with her, especially because, you know, her mom obviously knows something that she just doesn't want. And you know what? You know what? Thinking about it, you know, her grandma saw the train. What if her mother saw the train, which is why she asked her to tell her what's going on? Which is why her grandma said, you and your mom have to come because I saw the train. Maybe her mom saw the train. And it's like, we can't help you unless you tell us what's going on. Maybe she's trying. Maybe she knows and she's like, well, there's no stopping it now.
mm-hmm.
You know, just admit that this is going on and we can help you. He's just like, I think that's going to be.
It's been all about, you know, relying on people and, you know,
you're not alone.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. She's not going to be. Kamala's never going to. She'll have moments, I'm sure, through her story where she's going to have to face problems and trauma and emotion and everything on her own. But I feel like this character, most of the time, she's going to be with people. People are going to have her back. Like, she's just so. It's just her energy. You know what I mean? And that's going to carry over to the team, the future team, for sure.
Yeah. So one last thing.
Before we move on from the grandma. When they were having that conversation on the phone, there was one moment, I don't know if you noticed it, but she was saying, I saw it too. And right when that happened, she zoomed all the way in on her eye. So this is, again, sticking with the theme of the eyes.
That wasn't the only one, but right. There were other the eyes
in the episode. So
that's fair. I do have a question for the two of you guys. Do you think Bruno's going to go to Caltech?
Yes. I think
it's going to be like delayed and delayed and delayed. But then, you know, the final episode, he'll be like, well, that was an adventure. I'm off to Caltech.
Yeah, right. She goes, joins the Avengers. He goes to Caltech.
Yep. Yeah. I think he's totally, I agree with Colin. I think he exits at the end of the series, or then not at the series, the season. She goes that way. He goes that way. But is this the last we see of Bruno? Absolutely not. I mean, he's definitely going to come. Yeah. He's going to come back, a man as the guy in the chair. That's what I was gonna say. I said it to Katie as we were watching the episode. I'm like, he's totally gonna be her guy in the chair, like 100%. But you know, again, we could be completely wrong because they are pushing a love story between the two of them, undeniably. Yeah. So they could propel him in a direction where she has to save him in the future or something like that. He's gonna play into the story. I just don't know if they're kind of laying the foundation right now. But yeah, he's going to leave. He's going to go off and he's going to do it. And he's going to come back educated, you know, more mature, ready to assist in every way he can. And he might have a few surprises up his sleeves. Like, we don't know.
I thought he will go to Caltech. He will continue pursuing what he does. And maybe along the way, he'll pick up some things to improve Kamala's, like kind of, he'll be like the gadget guy, you know, creating all the nifty gadgets or stuff that can enhance her gear and stuff like that. You know, you never know what.
Or big picture, he helps out for the team, the new Avengers.
Well, that's kind of.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that. I think it's going to be more of a minor role just because there's already so many like tech geniuses that are being introduced at this point. So I feel like that's going to be a too heavily populated role. And he's going to just have a very minor role only helping Kamala.
Yeah, because we still have Riri Williams coming up in Ironheart.
Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. There is going to be a lot. So, yeah.
I mean, you also have Spider-Man, Peter Parker. He's also really smart as far as like technology is concerned as well.
And also, I don't remember her name from Black Panther.
Oh, Shuri.
Shuri, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you know, there's a lot of people who like, at 15 years old, she's already like running the entire R&D department in Wakanda.
Yeah.
You know, she's definitely got that on lockdown, you know, until she actually becomes Black Panther in the future, which is in the comics, actually.
Yeah, he's not spoiling Wakanda forever, so.
No, it's comic book based, which is actually why people were actually quite concerned, because they're like, in the comics, she becomes the Black Panther, so that's why people were like pushing her to become like the next Black Panther, but she doesn't actually become the Black Panther until she's much older and more experienced, which is why they were like, oh no, it's too early to push Shuri into the role right now.
I mean, they've done time traveling. They could just go to the future and there will be a Black Panther version of her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Basically.
I think it's going to be, I forgot his name, but the actor Winston Davis, I think is his name. I think he's going to be the next Black Panther in Wakanda forever. The one that was the leader of the tribe. Yep.
M'Baku.
Yep. M'Baku. Yep. I think he's going to be the next Black Panther. That's just my guess.
I think so too. But we'll have to wait and see.
November.
Cool. All right. Well, any final thoughts, guys?
No, I loved it. I'm just excited for
the next episode. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I can't wait for next week.
Yep. Halfway there, living on a prayer.
Look around, Jovi.
That was so good.
For a quick outro. Thank you all so much for joining us. We love Miss Marvel, so we could do this all day. But for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to drop us a like, rate us, follow us, share this with a friend, all that good stuff. You can find us all over the web. Links for everything are in the channel description. And make sure to check out the polls on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you. And join us next time. We're going to be talking about the fourth episode of Miss Marvel. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all 3,000, and we hope you're all staying safe out there.
Thanks, Marvel fans. Catch you next time.
Bye.